Hi, my name is Ed Boone, creator of Mortal Kombat, and you're listening to This Week in Geek with Mike the Birdman Dodd and the rest of the Twig crew on This Week in Geek.
There because Dodd went and Pepto'd.
Yes!
Oh, Pepto. You're my only
word of the day. Shit on command.
Oh, Pepto-Bismol, my little pink friend. You're the color of Kirby. Pink.
Well, okay then.
Just so you know, I
was really expecting
Pepto.
You to just break into a full song about Pepto-Bismol.
A full musical dedicated to the wonders of...
of the pink.
Of bismuth subdelectate or whatever liquid. Five symptom relief. Bitches.
So anyway, back on topic here.
What is the topic today, Jamie?
The topic is Super Smash Bros. And everything all about it. So we can start near the beginning, which you told me just before the show that you never played the first Super Smash Bros.
That's right. Back
what
in
the fuck is wrong with you?
I know, right? Back in the old N64 days, back in the old country, Super Smash Brothers, I mean, I knew what it was, but then I was kind of more PlayStation focused. So, I don't think I played the original Smash. I've got it on my Wii Virtual Console, but I haven't played it. And now that I've transferred all my Wii games over to my Wii U, now I have to wait for the GameCube controller to play it properly. Because the classic controller sucks. I hate that thing. So, yeah. Unfortunately, I have no experience with the original Smash, but I'm so glad Nintendo took a risk on this franchise.
Yeah, I mean, if you owned a Nintendo 64, you probably had Super Smash Bros., and you probably only played that, other than maybe Mario Party.
GoldenEye, man, GoldenEye.
Well, yeah, it was basically the three top multiplayer games. You got GoldenEye, Super Smash, and what was the other one? Wow, my brain broke today.
I noticed.
Anyway, I was at the swap meet on the weekend there, so I'm still recovering. I'm still, like, lacking hydration and shit. It sucks. It was a good time, but I didn't get out of my booth, so I didn't get to buy any games for my collection, which, you know, sad panda. Anyway, back to Smash Bros. The original roster was basically the classic Nintendo characters that you know and love from all of their main first-party franchises, with the exception of one character that most of us over here in North America had no idea about. So you had Pikachu, Kirby, Fox, Captain Falcon, Mario, Yoshi, Donkey Kong, fucking Jigglypuff, useless-ass character in my opinion, but she kicks the shit out of you if you know how to use her, Link, Luigi, and Samus. And then the last one, which I never knew what the hell he was from back then, was Ness, and he was from Earthbound. This game actually caused a lot of people to be intrigued about where Ness came from and brought attention to Earthbound. I'm fairly sure the prices on Earthbound probably went up as soon as this came out. The game was very simplistic, like even compared to Smash Bros. Melee, Smash Bros. Brawl, it was just you had, up B, down B, and normal B. You didn't have a side B or like a charge B or anything like that, like the newer ones, and it was just classic Smash. I don't even remember how many maps there was. There was a lot less than the new ones. So I guess we're not going to be able to talk about it too much because some asshole never played it.
Well, I'm looking at the stages. There are 8 starter. You can also unlock the Mushroom Kingdom as well. So there was Congo Jungle, Hyrule Castle, Planet Zebes, Dreamland, Yoshi's Island, Sector Z, Saffron City.
Sector Z was my favorite. It's just basically, it's the...
on top of the spaceship, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what it's called. Great Fox, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and throughout the entire level while you're fighting, the other, what are they called? R-Wings?
Yeah.
They're fighting and just shooting lasers and stuff in the, like, sort of background, but they are also on the same plane as you, so you can actually throw people up into the lasers, and it pretty much one-shots them. Or they'll come by and actually shoot, and some of the lasers will end up hitting Great Fox where you're standing. So it was just great hazards. And I don't know, it was a very generic level, so there wasn't a lot going on other than that, but it was just great being, like, I loved Star Fox, so it was really cool being there, but on the ground, not like Star Fox Adventures, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We've gone over that before.
Yeah.
That game, interesting. Yeah, I mean, it had a lot of great levels because it was just, I think it was like 1 to 2 from each franchise. And you unlocked, you could unlock, it was Captain Falcon, Jigglypuff, Luigi, and I think Ness were all the unlockable characters. So you really had a very small roster compared to the, like, Super Smash Bros. Brawl has a huge roster, and the newest one, what are they calling it technically? Super Smash Bros. 4?
I think so, but I think it's pretty much just accepted as currently Super Smash Bros. 3DS and then Super Smash Bros. Wii U.
Yeah.
But 4 is pretty much the generic term people are going with.
Yeah. Like, I saw a, like a, what's it called? Where it was everybody's final Smash, and it was just like, that video was like 15 minutes long and they were just doing it real quick. So I was like, what the fuck? Like, there's tons of characters now. Trying to think of what else I can explain that might make you want to go back and play it. But the thing is with Smash Bros, the first one was great when at its time. It's not exactly the greatest to go back and play now.
Yeah, like, it's not as competitive as, say, Melee is, because Melee, a lot of people consider that to be the pure form of Brawl, or not Brawl, of Smash Bros., because it has a lot of the mechanics and the physics people like, it introduced directional influence, stuff like that, and you didn't have the stupid trip mechanic that exists in Brawl, and then basically, it was, I'm not going to say a better game, it was a more technical game.
Yeah, from everything that I've heard from the competitive scene, because I obviously am not in the competitive scene, Melee is like the competitive version, and Brawl is like the casual version, and the original is just like its own thing. I found a lot of the times, like, going back and trying to play the original, it's still fun, but I find that my thumb hurts like a mother, like, a lot after a little while, because that thumbstick is not good plastic. And you end up breaking the controller, too.
Yeah, because...
grinding it down.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially when you're trying to hit your, like, kind of smashes and you're pushing the directional stick in one way really hard. And the N64 controllers are not exactly known for their durability. Because I can recall going through a number of N64 controllers simply from playing games like GoldenEye.
It's the design of the control stick... I come across this all the time as a reseller of retro games. I actually rebuild them, the control stick, because that's all that ever goes wrong with them. Because the way they were designed is that they're constantly rubbing plastic against plastic. All Nintendo needed to do was put a little bit of white mechanical grease in there, and it would never fucking, like, never be damaged at all. But they didn't do that because they want to sell more controllers, I assume. You know, that might not have been a hidden agenda, but... seems pretty convenient, especially when you have games like Mario Party where it just eats the control stick.
Yeah, or like any of the thousands of driving games I'm pretty sure that were on the N64.
And the thing is Smash Bros. Is one of those games where if your control stick is not real tight, you're going to have a hard time pulling off some of the moves because, you know, you have over smashes and all that. But if it's not tight and proper on the N64 controller, it will end up just registering as a normal over attack, which is a major pain in the ass. Anyway, we'll move on to Super Smash Bros. Melee, just because then we both have a little more to talk about here. The original was great. It started a fantastic franchise that people will kill each other over. Just saying. Now, I didn't play a lot of Smash Bros. Melee because I didn't own a GameCube. So my experience from it was actually when I went to university. We played it a lot there because there were my class was very competitive. So I generally got my ass kicked because I had played Brawl a lot at the time. So the characters do not play anything like Brawl.
No, and that's something, like, I remember getting Super Smash Bros. Melee. I got it secondhand at a pawn shop. I think I paid $5 for it. Now, before this episode recorded, I actually just sold my copy of Melee. Kind of regretting that now, actually. But I was able to resell it for, like, $50. And people are willing to pay that. That's insane.
Well, that's because... I'm assuming because of all the advertising for the new Smash Bros., everybody wants to get back into it, and a lot of people have their heart just set on Melee versus Brawl. So the only way to get it is to go to the retro scene, and, like, I kid you not, Smash Bros. Melee, as of this recording, has just skyrocketed over the last couple of months. I used to be able to, like, I would sell them for about $20, and... I'm not sure what... Let me just double-check what the current price is on it. But yeah, it's just gone up, and they fly. Like, nobody wants... Like, you can't keep it on the shelf. You really can't if you're a reseller. As long as you're reasonable. It's about $50 to $60, depending on where you go and the condition of it and completeness.
You know, if you want to get me something for my birthday, Jamie, I'm just saying...
That's just it. Like, I haven't found one...
In a long time, I'm guessing, right?
In a long time, because people are either holding on to it because they want to play it now that the new one's coming out, or, like, I don't know. It's a common game. It's a Nintendo first-party title, which means it's very common. There's lots of them out there. It's
and there's a Greatest Hits version, too.
Yeah, there is a Greatest Hits version, and people just don't want to hand it over now, so they're not really... out there, and I assume that's why the price has gone up. It's because everybody's holding on to it and trying to find it now because the new one came out, so they want to play it before it comes out. I'm sure it's going to drop back down after Smash Bros. 4 comes out, or it might not because a lot of people might be wary about getting a Wii U, but all the hype from the commercials has made them want to play Melee.
Really hoping Nintendo takes this opportunity to really push the virtual console service and actually releases a GameCube game. And I think Super Smash Bros. Melee would be the perfect opportunity to do that, especially once the new one comes out. I've heard from sources that Smash Bros. On the Wii U will come out on November 18th. The main reason I say this is there are scans of flyers from certain big box stores advertising a Black Friday event. And it's important to note that date as well, because I'm pretty sure the Pokemon Omega Sapphire, or whatever the hell it is, comes out in and around that time as well. So Nintendo's really kind of amping themselves up to have a really good holiday.
Generally, that's what a lot of the companies do. I doubt that they'll do it on the same week as the Pokemon games, because that's a lot of competition against themselves.
But then so again, it is for two separate consoles. Apart. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, usually, like, they'll do it a week apart that way, because you don't release a Pokemon game at the same time as a Smash Bros. Game, because people are going to choose. If you wait 1 week, they'll probably end up buying both. The best idea, in my opinion anyway, would be put Pokemon 1 week before it, because everybody will buy Pokemon, and they'll play Pokemon until they got their Smash Bros.
Yeah, I mean, this, for me, Smash Bros., it's one of those games that... For me, it means a lot, especially with Brawl, which we'll get to in just a couple minutes. I don't know, like, I used to work at this game center in Hamilton, Ontario called Pones. And it one of the things I used to do every Friday and Saturday, it was Smash Brothers. We would have tournaments on Friday night, and occasionally on Saturdays, we'd have big cash tournaments. Like, we'd have guys come in from New York State, Detroit... Montreal, there was one guy who would come down. I'll talk about him a little bit later. But I would just work there, working the tournament, helping them out with PR and marketing type stuff. But I'd also play in the tournaments too. And I would learn so much. And I was so surprised that there would be a competitive scene around this game, because very naively early on, I thought of this as nothing more than a simplistic fighter. Here's your attack button. Here's your special button. Here's your block. Have fun.
Well, see, that's the great thing about Smash Bros. Is it is very simplistic. So people like me, who I suck at fighting games, I pick this up and love it. It is like my favorite brawling style, like so fighter or anything like that, even though it's not a traditional fighter. And that being said, it is surprising that the tournament scene picked it up, because, like, as a first-person shooter gamer as myself, you generally don't have games that are have a lot of variation to them, like to their multiplayer, end up being on the tournament scene. So, like, when it comes to the Halos, a lot of the Halos were skipped. A lot of the Call of Duties have been skipped from the tournament scene because the mechanics just weren't right for how they play.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, with Super Smash Bros., where every character is just so drastically different and people argue about the balancing so much, you wouldn't think that it would make it to a tournament setting just because the characters really are not balanced. Because they're meant for a, like, some of the characters are meant for using items better or using the environment to their advantage, where when it comes to a tournament scene, they always have to do a level playing field, so it's usually no items and on the flattest map possible. And even though that's happened, there is a tier list for every single game. So in Super Smash Bros. For the Nintendo 64, Pikachu is the S rank, which basically means in the hands of the best player out there versus a clone of him, he will always beat every other character if he uses Pikachu against another character, according to the tournament standings. Which is really odd, because, like, if you look at these tiers, you got, like, Pikachu, Kirby, Fox, Captain Falcon, Mario, etc. And then you got, like, Link and Samus, which are the two heavy characters. DK is.
Yeah, in the D tier. And that's really surprising, because I thought, since it's a Metroid, you know, like, one of the Nintendo's lead franchises, they'd make her really powerful. No. Nope.
Yeah, and, like, Link, you'd think he'd be, like, you know, just really good. Or at least balanced to the point or whatever. But and the thing is these tiers just drastically change from game to game. So, like Fox, he is an A rank in Smash Bros. Then he's an S rank in Smash Bros. Melee. But then in Brawl, he drops all the way down to a C rank. Like, I don't know if he got nerfed or what. They're just all over the place every single game, so I'm really curious how the newest tier list for Smash Bros. 4 is going to be, just because there's so many characters. And you shouldn't let these lists ever dictate the way you play, either, because I love playing characters that are on the low end of all these tier lists, and I still do well with them. It's all in how you play, so.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I don't pay much attention to tier lists with the exception of Brawl, because fuck Meta Knight. But, like, with me, for example, when I played Smash Brothers Melee, my main was Samus, and she's a C-list character. I like her because it's fucking Samus, man! It's cool, but I can't wrap my head around using a character like Fox or Falco, because their movement and their shield ability, where they can throw that protective bubble thing, I can't use that as effectively as like someone else. I also don't like fighting against characters that have built-in weapons, like Marth or Ike or Roy.
Whereas I love Marth.
Fuck
but
those
I
guys.
Love Marth in Super Smash Bros. Brawl. I suck with him in Melee. Having played Brawl first and then went back to Melee, it really messed with me. The difference in mechanics that I noticed, Smash Bros. Melee compared to the other two games, I want to say the gravity is almost higher. So, like, when jumping around as Fox, in Smash Bros. Original, you know, it just seems kind of normal. In Smash Bros. Melee, I feel like I just fucking, like, I fly down to the ground really quick. So, like, if I jump off an edge to bait somebody, I end up falling off and dying. In Smash Bros. Brawl, compared to both the other two, everything feels very floaty. So, like, the only characters that really fall that quickly are the heavies. And even then, they don't fall that quick. So it's a lot, like, slower paced kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I assume that's why, like, those are two big differences between Melee and Brawl that cause the tournament impact, right? Because tighter controls and faster paced generally always make it to tournaments. That being said, like, I don't have a lot of experience with Melee. I don't know what your experience is with it. I know that when I played it, every character I tried was completely different than Brawl, and I got my ass kicked.
My thing is, with Melee, I don't have a lot of competitive experience. It's a lot of single player with me. And for me, the best experience with Brawl, it's the competitive thing. I mean, I wish I'd learned on Melee more so than with Brawl, because I think it might make me a competitive level player at maybe a higher level.
A lot of people say, like, the GameCube controller is, like, the best controller ever for the Nintendo series. And I can't wrap my head around it. I never really grew up with a GameCube. So every time somebody hands me a GameCube controller to play, like, Smash Bros. Melee, I'm like, I don't understand these buttons. Because there's just buttons all over the place. It's nothing like PS3, PS2, PS1. It's nothing like the N64. The 4C buttons are now in an analog stick, you know, quote unquote analog. It's not really. It's just an 8-directional pad, but it's a stick. It's really just a D-pad. I don't know. How do you like the GameCube controller?
You know what? I like it especially for Brawl, but I don't like it for anything like shooters, for example. Like, I don't much care for the Metroid Prime setup, for example. I'd much rather have a 360 or a PS3 controller for it, just because I'm used to that in my hand. I'm pretty sure there are third parties that make controller, or at least adapters, that can make them function like that. Because, for example, I've got a PS3 controller that looks like an Xbox 360 controller.
You know, I always found it funny that there was never, like, a fight stick made for Super Smash Bros.
See, I don't think that's a game that would be very conducive to using a fight stick. I mean, for example, I used to play very much in the competitive Street Fighter 4 scene for a long time in Hamilton. And I loved my fight stick for that. But with games like Smash Bros., it doesn't seem very... I don't know. It just doesn't gel with that. Although, I've also seen people play amazingly good Brawl with the Wiimote.
Yeah,
that blows my mind. How the hell do you do that?
I don't know. Like, I've always wanted to try it with a classic controller, because I can't do it with a GameCube controller. The Wiimote, I don't know. It works really well for me. Because it's really similar to just holding, like, an NES controller, except it's separated. An NES controller that has a thumbstick. Like, you got the left hand, you have your thumbstick for moving around, and then you have your shield / dodge roll with your the trigger on that. And then on the other hand, it's just you got your B and your A. So it's really just like four or five buttons to do everything with Smash Bros. And that's what I love about it. It's so simple. It's all just about fighting your own way and using tactics and everything to win. Like, it's not like, hey, it's Street Fighter, we have to hit down, over, down, right, this button, and this button to shoot a Hadouken. It's just over B. I'm shooting a fireball.
See, for some reason, I like the more technical inputs of a Street Fighter, and that very much, to me, means that determines your playstyle. For example, I cannot play with a character like El Fierte or say Zangief or whatever, basically any what I consider role characters, or I can't use a charge character like say Bison or Balrog. I just, my mind doesn't work like that. Yet you give me a character like a Ryu, a Ken, a Sakura, a Dan, and those are called Shoto characters. Those I understand very well, and I can pull off their moves with no problem, not even thinking about it. And yet with Brawl, whenever I do like a side B or an up B or something, I have to think about it. And that's probably just the way that I've learned how to play the game. Like my mind is more Street Fighter focused than Brawl, but I did find a character that works with me. So I guess let's kind of skip to talking about Brawl now. The word mastered is not quite the word. But a character I find myself I'm very good with and I can actually compete in tournaments with is Pit, a.k.a. Kid Icarus.
Funny enough, is a C-tier class.
Yeah, and I've
going
beat...
Going back to the whole tiers thing.
And I've beaten good Diddy Kongs. I've beaten... Actually, I just want to look at the tier list. And I've played against really good players. I've beaten a Diddy Kong. I can beat an Ike and a Snake. And I've beaten Falcos. Who are really high on the tier list. I think I got really, really, really lucky at times. But Pit has a very weak down smash, has a very weak up smash.
He has a very weak line of smash attacks.
Pretty much. But he can annoy the shit out of you, which is how I do it. Like, one of the techniques I play with, and it's a thing that's very annoying in the community, is I do a lot of edge guarding. And he has this move, this spinny move, where he spins his, like, bow around. He's like, yeah! Now,
where it turns red and he spins it, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember the actual name of the
Now,
attack,
if you stay right towards the edge, you can just keep spinning it, and when people try and get up, they'll immediately walk into it. Or, because Pit, I think, has a fairly good priority with that thing, you can interrupt people's moves. So they get caught in that. You can probably hit them with like some kind of a normal attack, or if you're lucky, you can hit them with a good smash as well.
I think it stops a lot of projectiles too.
I'm not 100% sure on that because I don't remember, but I remember, speaking of projectiles, he can control the way his arrows go, but they come out so fast, it's very hard to just, other than just maybe change the angle and what they're actually hitting at. It's not super controllable, but you can still do it anyway, because I've managed to knock people out of the air long enough to hit them with a side smash and hit them in that like kind of blast barrier that's on the side.
Yeah, I really like playing with Pit with his arrows, because I don't know why, but with the Wiimote, I can aim that and peg anyone anywhere. I just love the fact that you have control over the arrow after it's launched. Unlike if you play like Link, where his just shoots based on how long you pull the string back,
mm-hmm.
So it'll be straighter or lobbed. My favorite characters in Brawl, and I played Brawl way too much, like probably more than the N64, and I got a lot of hours clocked on that one. My favorite characters are Marth, who's apparently an A minus in tiers. Which I don't understand this. How come there's double S, S, A plus, A minus, and then B? Like, where's just normal A? I don't understand how the tiers actually work or how they calculate them.
I think it comes down to, as we mentioned, when high level players win in tournaments, this is kind of the like kind of win ratio and who they're actually using.
Yeah.
But it also looks at different bits of frame data and basically how many invincibility frames they might have during a certain move. How fast is their priority for certain attacks. For example, Meta Knight is double S tier because I think it's his neutral A out prioritizes everything in the game, and it's that stupid spinny sword thing that will hit you no matter what you are doing. And his tornado is so quick, it can take you right out as well. Once again, this is what I remember. I'm likely wrong, so feedback at thisweekingeek.net. Hell, if you're a Smash expert, we want to talk to you. And yeah, like I've seen so many super high level Meta Knights in tournament play, so that's why he's really good.
The thing is like these lists might say, you know, what characters have the potential to be the best, but it's just like in League of Legends or any other extremely competitive game, it is all down to who's playing it.
Well, yeah, but...
Because when I play Meta Knight, he is so soft that when you get hit, you die. Like, if you get hit by a heavy at 0% damage taken, you probably will hit the edge of the screen.
I don't know about that, but I would say with Meta Knight, it's how and when you use his moves. He's very he's very much timing-based. However,
he's
that being
very skill-based, so...
However, I don't see a Ganondorf beating a Meta Knight.
No.
Because Ganondorf, he's basically...
He's so slow.
Well, he's a Captain Falcon clone, and not a very good one. At that, and it sucks though because I see Link is in F tier, Mario, Samus are in F tier. Now I've played a pretty good Samus in Brawl too. That's another character that I decided to really learn to try and get really good with, and it just once again it blows my mind. Like, really, this character sucks. And I'm looking at some of the other characters and some of the other tiers. Zero Suit Samus, I don't like, for example, but I like Samus. Zero Suit Samus, I don't like how she controls and her moveset compared to regular Samus. But I do like the fact when you do Samus's final smash, her armor rips off and she becomes Zero Suit. And you can throw pieces at the armor at the guy. That's really clever, especially if you're talented with both characters. That's a really good advantage to have.
Well, yeah, because, like, Smash Bros. Brawl added a lot of cool new elements and everything that I think a lot of people take for granted. Like, even the adventure mode, which I don't believe they're doing for the new one because they basically said not enough people liked it.
Screw
even though
that.
I don't think that's actually the case. It's more just resources. They didn't want to do it. Yeah, it was resources.
Like,
it'd take too much time and too much effort.
That sucks. It's honestly, Subspace Emissary, I'm playing through it by myself for the first time right now, because when I had Brawl, I paid my roommate to unlock my characters while I was away at college doing stuff during the day. I'd come home at night, stuff would be unlocked for me. Like, hey, here's your McDonald's, or here's $20, thanks. And I really liked, like, the fact that I'm playing through it now. It's so much fun, and you'd think with the 3DS version, they would include, like, a really small one.
Mm-hmm.
Of some kind. I mean, even if you just did it like Mortal Kombat's arcade mode, have a couple of cutscenes with character portraits and just put text on underneath it.
Well, it was a great time killer and like great mode for people that were just playing single player. And it was like, you know, I've had enough fighting the CPUs and the Wii network wasn't always the best. And you're just like, I want to play an adventure with these characters. And it was really cool like that. So I understand that Smash Bros. The series is more of a multiplayer thing, but it strikes me odd that they would take it out because it was just a great single player experience. That being said, some of the other characters that I play, like Marth is really cool because he's fast. And that's something I noticed about all of these tier lists. The faster the character, it seems to be the higher the tier they're in, which kind of makes sense because it's hard. Like if you're dodging around, you're not going to be hit by a heavy character. They're just too slow. So that, like, they're all about getting that lucky hit that it sends an enemy right into the wall, which is great for, like, four-man play. I also played Fox a lot. I found him kind of sluggish in Brawl. I loved playing Pit, but I always found that his smash attacks just were lacking way too much. And who was my fourth, was Sonic. I played Sonic
here
all the time, but I would only play him if it was an item match because Sonic is great at pestering and going through people dealing damage and then finishing them off with an item. So like you'd find like an explosive or whatever, you've already dealt, you know, 100, 200% damage just from rolling through them. And you just throw the whatever bomb or whatever you pick up at them and then they're KO'd. Because he didn't have the greatest smash attacks either. He had a lot of interesting gameplay because if you're on any of the maps where you can run through the map and die, there's the odd time where you'd have that happen because he's just so quick.
Now, one of the things, now, it's funny that you mention items. I have almost never played with items.
Mm-hmm.
It's not until, and this is going to sound really weird, I've never played with items up until the 3DS demo. This is where you ask why. Back when I played at Pwn's, we had a tournament rule list. Tournament play. Tournament play was each person could pick a stage. Basically, it would be best of three matches or best out of five. I forget. But you would have, there'd be pick, counter pick. You could pick stages. Certain stages were off limits. But how you set up the game was it was either three stock or five stock. No items except Smash Balls. Now, if you were, say, a character like Peach that can generate items whenever the hell you want, that puts you at a pretty good advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And I've played against some pretty good Peach players, and I can't believe, once again, she's C-minus tier. And I don't know, like, it's so funny to use items, because, like, I'm playing through the 3DS demo now, and I'm picking up, like, lightsabers, I'm throwing Pokeballs and shit. And I like how that can change up a match, but it never feels, well, I guess, balanced. And that's the biggest problem. I used to play, I can't remember which one of my friends, I think it was my friend Dave, or maybe it was my friend Pierce. I can't remember which one, but I used to play against them. Like, Mike, we're not playing by Pwn's rules. I'm like, well, why not? It's more fair. They're like, no, because you're good. I need the items to equalize it. And I always thought that kind of weird, because I guess that's just the way that I learned the game.
Well, the items, they kind of add a random and fun factor to the
absolutely.
Game. But it's very contradictory to players that have the mentality and personality that
it's for fun, not competition.
Yeah, this is a competition, not a fun game. So that's why you generally never see items on if you're playing in like competitive matches. But I love having items on because it just, like, I can go from kicking the crap out of somebody that sucks to, oh, a bomb just spawned under me and I went flying off the stage. Some people will just be like, that's fucking stupid, blah, blah. I'd just be like, that's funny. I just got wrecked by a bomb.
Now, but one of the characters that I like for their items that they can generate is Snake. Because, like, he can plant landmines, he can do C4, he's got, like, rockets and shit. There is one this guy that I want to actually talk about. This kid would come from Montreal. I'm pretty sure he competes in Evo. His name is Ally, and he was, I think he was, like a Chinese kid or something. But this guy, I've never seen this before in my life. You would play against him, he'd have Snake at, say, 300 damage. He would still kick your ass. He's the only guy. Like, he would purposely bomb himself so it would reset his recovery. And he could recover. Like there's a stage, I think it's called Battleground, and it floats in the air. He could C4 himself under the stage, use that little helicopter drone thing, and he could fly himself right back on the stage. Or you'd knock him off the side. He'd use directional influence to bomb himself, come back across the, come back towards the stage from the edge barrier, or the blast barrier rather, and he would still come out. He'd find a way to kick your ass, and he'd bounce you around with landmines, and you'd never see it coming.
I had a friend that was really good with Yoshi, both in Brawl and even worse in Melee. Basically, he would sit on the edge. He would edge guard. And if you were in Melee, if you got close to the edge, you were going to find yourself within half a second to a second in the pit. Because he just had these awesome combos where he put you into an egg. As you're breaking out, he's meteor smashing you right into the fucking dirt. And in Brawl, the meteor smash for Yoshi isn't as strong, but he had ridiculous aim with the eggs, with all of his different moves, like, you just felt like you were the punching bag character when you were fighting against him. And my old roommate, he was really good with Falco. And, like, I used to be pretty good with Fox, so I always would try to fight him. I was like, Fox is better than Falco. And he's like, no, he's much higher tier than Fox. And I never believed him. I didn't look into it. And I'm staring at it right now going, oh, he's an A-minus versus Fox is a C. But, yeah, we'd always have battles like that. And he'd always just, like, if he got you in the air, you weren't coming out of the air. If you managed to get back down on the ground, you were safe again. I guess Falco just has some ridiculous air attacks to keep juggling you. I had one friend in college as well. He used Ike, and he's very slow, but he used him all the time when we were having our four-player matches. And it'd just be, like, me, that roommate, and the other friend. So it'd be, like, Yoshi, Falco, and, like, Marth, usually, I'd play, or Pit. And we're just going at each other because we know, our skill level. And then randomly you'd, like, knock somebody, to the side of the stage. And then Ike Smash would just smoke you and you'd be gone. Because nobody would pay attention to him. So we'd just sit there charging up his sword waiting for us.
There was a guy I used to live with and he used to work for the show, a kid named Stefan. Yeah, he was like that. He'd find a way that you'd walk into that shard smash, and it would obviously kick the shit out of you. But he was good with them, though, and I've always hated sword characters because of him. But yeah, I don't know. There was something really fun about Brawl. To me, I like the fact there was so much shit to unlock.
There's tons of unlockables. Or you could unlock, like, half the characters, stages, all kinds of trophies and stuff, like, that gave you background on games.
You could actually get little playable demos of stuff, too.
Yeah. And I just liked how everything felt very diverse. So, like, in Melee, you had, like, Marth, Roy... was I can man? No, it was just Marth and Roy, and they played basically the exact same. You had, like, everybody felt like clones in Melee. So, like, Link and Young Link, I think, were very similar, just smaller. Pikachu and Pichu were basically the same, except for Pichu could hurt himself with his lightning, so it was, like, kind of useless. Ganondorf was, like, a Captain Falcon clone. Dr. Mario, which apparently is making a comeback in Smash Bros. 4. I don't understand that, because it's just a damn clone. Like, why? Why do they bother with that? Do you know if it's a clone again?
Who again, sorry?
Dr. Mario?
I don't know. I think he's got a slightly different moveset, but I don't know.
At least Luigi and Mario are completely different characters at this point. I think in the original they were very similar.
Mm-hmm.
But he's kind of evolved into his own character over time. But yeah, I don't know. It's I just didn't like Melee for that because it just felt like a lot of clones. And in Brawl, everybody kind of had their own uniqueness. There was some clonage, but they had at least some unique parts to them. Like, there was Fox, Falco, and Wolf, which are all basically the same character, but they're tweaked in certain ways that, like, Falco's a lot faster, fights in the air, Fox is kind of a medium, and Wolf is kind of a heavy version. So it was like, if you like that character, you have three versions of him that are all drastically different, but still the same, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, Fox and Falco in Super Smash Bros. Melee were pretty much identical. So, and they're both on the S rank. So, I also liked how characters had a lot of weird quirks about them. So, like, the Pokemon trainer, which I don't think many people really like playing him because he was really hard to choose which Pokemon you wanted to use at the time. And it would have been a lot better if you could actually, like, hit a specific button to call out one of the three rather than it rotating them. I hated that. That was dumb.
Mm-hmm. Trying to think of what else to mention about Brawl. Well, I guess we should talk about the upcoming Smash Brothers games for the 3DS and the Wii U. This will be a system seller.
Definitely be a system seller. It's always a system seller.
Well, I think this is the shot in the ass the Wii U needs. Now, the Wii U has been selling pretty well. There was something on Machinima I was watching, and it's evidently on par with the Xbox One. At least in some places, which it's, I'm really surprised the Xbox One is doing that badly.
That's either got to be recent or something, because the Wii U was not doing well the last time we talked about this.
Well, the Wii U's been doing a lot better since the release of Mario Kart 8.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. The system's been selling 3 times better, I think, since then. Don't quote me on that exact number, but it has been selling better.
Something that I heard recently, I wanted to get your opinion on it for this episode, since it's going to be very related, since there's a Smash Bros. For the 3DS, and there's also Smash Bros. For the Wii U, there is a new 3DS coming out down the road. Japan's going to get it first, we'll get it way later, but it's got better hardware in it, and it has a lot more functionality being built into it. What do you think about it being possible that they might allow that to be your gamepad for the Wii U, so integrated that you can use both systems?
I think that's kind of a neat idea. I myself don't know if I would use that, because I'd rather have a pro controller for something like this. But then again, if you're good on the 3DS, you could translate those skills, because the physics engine should be the exact same for Smash Brothers on the Wii U. So if that's the way they want to go, I actually think that's actually kind of cool. And it's like that whole second screen sort of thing, like they do with the PlayStation Vita and stuff like that. So I don't think it's a bad thing, actually. I do think that's actually kind of neat. However, though,
it's still a rumor, but I think it'd be kind of cool, because then, you know, if you have a 3DS, maybe you could play a game over at your friend's house and it could count as a gamepad, so you could have two gamepads going. It'd be really neat.
One of the things I don't like, and this is just a very small tangent, talking about the new 3DS, the fact that it has the built-in near-field reader for the Amiibo figures, a faster processor for enhanced 3DS games, and we don't get it right away, I think that kind of sucks. The fact that there's no releases for the calendar year of 2014, which technically doesn't end until March of next year, like in terms of the financial quarters. So, I don't know, but then again...
Well, we're going to be getting a an attachment for our current 3DS to read those figures, and the Wii U, I think it's already built in, apparently.
Yeah.
That's what they said, but I don't know.
Now, one of the things that I don't much care for is this new enhanced game thing. I wonder how successful it's going to be, because Nintendo did try this before. Most notably with the Nintendo DSi. There are maybe 5 games made specifically for the 3DSi, and I'm pretty sure most of them were downloadable. I had one of them, I think it was called Photo Dojo or some shit like that. It was friggin' stupid. I think I sold it for like $30, because the game's evidently kind of rare or something.
Well, the thing is if they make games that are specifically for the new 3DS, two things happen. One, you have an issue where it's kind of like the Wii and the Wii U, where people don't realize it, and they won't end up buying like a new one because they're just like, oh, it's all just 3DS games. Or they also, like, the other part of that is that they get, it confuses customers. So like when the 2DS came out, people would come in and be like, can I play 3DS games on my 2DS if I get one? And it's like, yes, it's the same console, they just named it differently. So it causes a lot of confusion in the general populace, because, you know, no offense to the general populace, but the general populace probably does not listen to us, so who gives a crap? Everybody listening is probably smart. The general populace is fucking retarded. So just throwing that out there.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that Nintendo markets to the general populace, so when they do that, it really contradicts it and causes them to lose money. Like, seriously, people thought the Wii U was just an upgrade of the Wii, so no one bought it. They didn't differentiate that it was a new system. They should have changed the name. Just because of that little thing, they fucked their sales for the first quarter or two. I forgot what the second point that I was going to get into.
You fail!
Damn. I'm tired. Leave me alone.
It's okay.
But yeah, like, one of the great things about Smash Bros. Coming out now, you had Mario Kart 8, now you're going to have Smash Bros., you have Hyrule Warriors, there's going to be a Zelda soon-ish, I don't know when.
They say next year.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the speculation, right? It could be pushed back, it could be closer. They could surprise us and be like, hey, we already made it. There's a couple other really good games coming out. So there's possibilities that the Wii U will come back. Like, people have finally, they're buying them. So it might make a comeback as long as they don't sink themselves with any stupid choices. Yeah. But anyway, the 3DS is probably selling like crazy because of this. I know the Smash Bros. Versions of the 3DS are like sold out, like the pre-orders and everything.
Yeah, like I'm really hoping Nintendo sends me one. I did send in a formal request because I really do want to play this on a 3DS XL. Mm-hmm. Now, to show you how serious I am about this, I actually went and traded some stuff in, and I got a Nintendo 2DS. This is where most people ask, well, what the hell's wrong with you? The 2DS, in my opinion, is more comfortable for Brawl. Or not for Brawl, fuck. For like
Smash Bros. You're just calling Smash Bros. Brawl now. Yeah. Everything is Brawl.
Everything is Brawl. It's just, it's more comfortable. I like the feeling of the thumbstick a little bit more. And the L and R top buttons just feel a little bit more natural to use, especially if I want to get into like kind of grab combos and stuff like that. But not everyone's going to agree with that. Like I said, I'm hoping to get a 3DS XL to see how that feels. And one of these 3DSs that I'm going to get will be my tournament one. I'll bring this one to conventions when I'm not playing with fans. That will be my tournament one. So hopefully I can get good enough that I can start competing again, because to be good at some of these games and to walk away with $500-$600 just for being good at a video game, I like that. I really like that. Like, when I used to play down at Poland's, this kid would walk away with, I think at one tournament he walked away with like $2,000.
Yeah.
Because we had like that many entrants. I'm like, holy shit, man.
I used to run a lot of tournaments and stuff. And Smash Bros. Melee was always asked for a lot. Smash Bros. Brawl a little bit. But now with the new 3DS version, I might have to set up some tournaments for that. But a good thing on my end is I don't have to supply consoles usually for that. Because I'm definitely not going buying a whole bunch of 3DSs to run tournaments. And the great thing about it is because I won't have to buy consoles or the game. It'll basically be bring your own version and we'll duke it out or whatever. I won't have any overhead, so I can throw lots of these tournaments without having to, like, you know, dip into my pockets constantly. So I might do them at the Gauntlet, possibly up in Barrie as well. Gauntlet's down in Orangeville, for those that don't know. And definitely have you there so that you can try to win.
One of the cool things is Nintendo is actually doing this thing across Canada called Super Smash Club.
And I saw that.
Yeah, they're trying to encourage people to develop rules for Super Smash Club. I submitted one myself. My rule was it's about fun first, competition second. So sportsmanship above all else. And if you can't respect those rules, don't play. Because I remember, once again, at Pwn's, I saw one kid. I remember what his gamer tag is, but I don't want to say it in case he's listening. But there was one match he lost. He swore all these very, very offensive terms at this guy and broke his controller in the alleyway out back.
He used words that we don't even use?
Words that we won't use. Words that would get us labeled homophobe and racist.
Oh.
And he, sweet. Now, eventually he did come back inside and settled this with the guy. He's like, I'm sorry, I lost, I was pissed off. And the guy's like, yeah, okay, let's shake hands on it, party on. I'm glad. Wait, when people...
Did he break his own controller, or he broke the other guy's controller?
He broke his controller. Like, he whipped it into like a wall. And that's, it's weird how people get that competitive. Now, I've had Street Fighter matches where I've lost, and I'll maybe flick my stick really hard, or I'll, you know, give the table a whack or something like that. But I've never been so controller-throwing angry where I've been that pissed off. Because every loss is at least an opportunity for learning, if you look at it that way.
Well, it's funny because, like, I'm extremely competitive whenever I actually aim to be competitive. Like, a lot of the times I try to just avoid it because I can get pretty extreme. But I think there's only been, like, three times in my entire life where the controller coming out of my hand was, you know, happened. And, you know, I'm not proud of them, but it's funny because there's like, I have that much competitiveness in me that almost every single time I'll grab the controller and I'll go to throw it. And then what stops me is the thought that I'll have to go buy another controller. So I'm like, not going to throw that now. But there's been those three times that I'm not going to go into that. It just kind of came out of my hand and I was like, I just don't give a shit. And there was a fourth time I was trying to, it was a Halo match where I was playing against a clan. It was a pretty high up clan, basically to see if I was good enough to get like join it. And my buddy got me the match and he was messing around. So, cause he was like, I know that you're like probably good enough to join them, but I'm going to mess with you during it. So he started like play fighting with one of our other friends in front of the TV. So I kept like, couldn't see. I got so pissed off because I was so like into that match that I wanted to beat them. I wanted to prove myself and all that. I ended up getting up, punched him in the face and walked out of his house. It was hilarious.
Fuck is wrong with you?
Oh, he was being a dick.
Well, then, I suppose that's justified.
Hey, we're still friends. It's cool.
You're a dick. I punched you in the face.
I think there might have been alcohol involved. I don't remember. I was like, I'm 11, not going to say the age. I'm not going to say the age because I just said there was alcohol involved. So
so you were like 11 teen. Gotcha.
Sure. Whatever that means.
Youngin.
Anyways,
so a little bit more about 3DS Brawl. A lot of new characters, and I think, and this is pretty much for the Wii U version as well. New characters are Bowser Jr., Dark Pit, the Duck Hunt Dog, Greninja, Little Mac, Lucina, Mega Man, the Mii Fighter, Pac-Man, Platoonia, or whatever. Robin, Rosalina and Luma, Shulk, the villager from Animal Crossing, and finally the Wii U trainer. Now this I really like. Palette swap characters. May sound stupid, but hear me out. You get Alf, who's one of the characters from Pikmin, and you get all the Koopa kids are all palette swaps of Bowser Jr.
Which I think is really cool because it's not just a color scheme change. They actually had some of the characters have different uniforms. And some of them are just straight up a different character, but like, so like Bowser Jr. turns into the other Koopa kids. They're all of the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's not just a palette swap, which is really cool.
I'm looking forward to it. I think that's really neat. Actually, speaking of, there is one palette swap that I really, really like, and it is just a simple color change.
Is it one of the female characters, you know, having them get skimpier?
No, it's actually Mega Man. It's Mega Man, and the main reason I'm happy for the red and white one. You might be asking why. That's the Crash Man colors. Mm-hmm. One of Mega Man's, his standard B, it's his B or his side B. It's the Crash Bomb.
I think it's side B because I think regular B is the saw.
Like, I'm so happy. I think there's even a brown version, which is the Metal Man colors.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy shit, that's so cool. Now, I'm really hoping, now there is talk of DLC characters, but I should probably mention who some of the veterans are. So, beginning from the top, Bowser, Captain Falcon, Charizard, Diddy Kong, Donkey Kong, Dr. Mario, Falco, Fox, Ganondorf, Ike, Jigglypuff, King DDD, King Kirby, Link, Lucario, Luigi, Mario, Marth, Meta Knight, Mr. Game & Watch, Ness, Peach, Pikachu, Pikmin and Olimar, Pit, Rob, Samus, Sheik, Sonic, Toon Link, Wario, Yoshi, Zelda, and Zero Suit Samus. With approximately 54 stages available, I'm sure there will be more. Though not all the stages in the 3DS version will be available in the Wii U, from what I hear.
Each of them are going to have some exclusive staves.
Now I'm hoping for DLC. I want Snake back.
I think that he is DLC.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
I don't know, because it really comes down to a contract with
Konami.
Konami, right?
I would love to see them bring back Mewtwo.
I've heard a lot of people ask for Mewtwo. Like, I never played him in Melee, so I don't know what he's like. I thought he was, like, Lucario was, like, a clone of him, so I don't know.
Lucario's cool and all, but I want Mewtwo, because he's friggin' cool. Lucario is the character I've nicknamed Goku because he basically has the Kamehameha in the game, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of...
I'm really excited to try out Greninja. He looks really cool.
I want to learn the Duck Hunt dog. Because that looks just fun. I imagine he's like an Ice Climbers clone.
I don't want to play the Duck Hunt dog, but I do want to kick the living crap out of him.
Oh my god. He
for
looks...
all of those years of laughing at me.
He looks so much fun. I'd also be really happy if the Wii Fit Trainer turned out to be awesome.
Now, I don't know if you've looked into it or not. I haven't really looked into it too much. Is Dark Pit just a clone of Pit? Does he have a different moveset? What is that?
He's got a slightly different moveset. He is heavier.
Yeah.
I think as well, but he's not too different from what I can tell. And I'm not even sure why he's his own separate character. I think he's a slightly different character model as well. But whatever, I guess.
Yeah.
So I guess my final question is to you, my friend, is what characters would you want to see as DLC?
As DLC? Wow. Was not expecting this question, so you do yours first.
Okay, top of my list, Proto Man. I want Proto Man or Vile from Mega Man X, because Zero already exists in Marvel vs. Capcom, so I could see that. Vile or Sigma would be a lot of fun. Or
Mega
maybe
Man
Base.
X. Or Zero. That'd be really fucking cool.
Well, they're already in his final Smash, so that's why I'm not recommending those ones. But I'm thinking someone like...
Well, I mean, they could just do a clone, right? It could be, you know, or even a skin Mega Man. You play as Mega Man X. Well, no, I guess it wouldn't make sense for his moves.
Yeah. Although, you look
You could use a clone Final Smash, though.
Although, if you look at something like, say, a Marvel's Capcom 3, where Zero has an X skin... His moves are still the same, so figure that one out. I'd like to see Simon Belmont or one of the Belmont clans appear in the game. I think it'd be really funny if they did a tag team like they did for the Ice Climbers for Billy and Jimmy Lee from Double Dragon. I think that'd be a lot of fun. I'd like to see another Punch-Out character. I'd love to see King Hippo in the game. I think
that
would be a
be
lot of cool. I'm trying to think of other Nintendo-ish characters I'd like to see.
I would love, this is because I'm a fanboy, but Square Enix has a lot of good ties with Nintendo. They always have, and their handheld is up there. Like, they make a lot of handheld games for them. I would love to see some Final Fantasy characters, you know, joining in the fight just as maybe DLC, even if it's just one. You got plenty of characters that would be amazing in this.
You know who would be awesome? Chrono
would be fucking. I would,
or Robo.
If they came in and just like, hey, we're dropping Chrono, but it's $100, you would have
done.
$100.
Yep, done.
So fast, so effing fast. And like his final smash, because like Robin, his final smash, he has an assist come in. It's
like that Tri Strike or something.
It's Chrome. Chrome comes in and does an assist, which is from their game. So he comes in and helps with them. Shulk, it's like three characters from his game help him out. Mega Man, all the other different characters help him. Like all the Mega Man shoot. So like Chrono, because in Chrono Trigger, you always had the double tech or tri-tech. So you know, you had three party members that actually did a special move. It could be the X slash with Frog helping you or something awesome like that. Oh my god, you just blew my mind.
I know. Like there's so many characters they can mine out of their 16-bit history. Another one I'd love to see is from the character from Illusion of Gaia, Will, and have his moves where he could transform into different versions. There was the Guardian dude and the other guy I can't remember off the top of my head, but Illusion of Gaia would be a franchise I'd like to see them revisit, because I think that was a first-party Nintendo thing, because I remember it was very heavily advertised. You know what I think would be kind of a fun joke character? Even if it was a skin for Rob, the Virtual Boy.
Oh, yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
That would be really, really, really funny.
That'd be a cool skin. I don't think it really needs to be a full character.
It could be, though. Or Ness. Why have they never put Nestor in? From, like, Nestor's Funky Bowling. Or because he was the Nintendo...
Captain N.
Or Captain N. Even if they had, like, him as just, like, I don't know. Like, just give him his zapper in something, but I imagine it's some licensing agreement or something. But I think that'd be really cool to look back at Nintendo's roots like that, or even having the Game Boy from Captain N. Have him come out and kick some ass. I mean, there was talk for a little... I remember someone was saying the Tetris block should be a character or something like that.
Tetris block be a character?
I remember reading that somewhere. I'm thinking, you know what? I could actually kind of see that, or maybe have that be one of Game & Watch's special attacks or something. Like, there's...
Or- like a Game & Watch version where he throws Tetris blocks and stuff instead of fish and all that.
Like, there's like there's so many, there's so much potential here, and I hope Nintendo
there's another realizes one that I'd really enjoy, because this was pretty much only ever on Nintendo, and I think there might have been some Sega versions, but it was mostly on Nintendo. Battletoads. If they could put in the three Battletoads, or even just one, and it's the three different skins of the three, I think that'd be really cool. I think they'd fit really well with the play style, because their game basically is that fighting style. Because it's over A's, up A's, it's all just smash attacks. I think it would go really well, and they, it's not like they're on anything right now. And they're from Nintendo originally, which, who made Battletoads?
I think it was Rare or Trade West. It was one or the other.
It was Rare. It's Rare.
So, I think Rash, Zitz, and Pimple would be wonderful characters to bring in. Basically, anything that was a Super Nintendo or Nintendo seller should really have a chance. Or even maybe the robot from Blast Corps from the N64, stuff like that. Like, there's so many franchises these guys haven't mined. And if Nintendo is
And it really
smart,
just comes down to money and paying these other companies to do it. That's like... Like, I mean, they got Sonic and they got Snake in Smash Bros. Brawl, right? So it's like... I wonder how much money they actually spent on that.
I mean, here's my thinking. If I was Nintendo, every quarter... Every 4 months, I give you two new characters. If Nintendo wanted to do a season's pass, now is the time to do it.
Well, the Wii U is built to be able to use the internet properly, unlike the original Wii, so...
Yeah.
The thing is with Smash Bros., as we've already discussed today, it doesn't really have a huge balance, so it's not entirely wrong of them to be like, hey, let's add more characters. They, like, balance them as much as you can, but you're never going to have the balance perfect because that's just the way Smash Bros. Is.
Yeah, like, it's not Street Fighter, it's not Tekken.
It's not like, hey, they released two new characters, now the entire meta of the tournament fighting is just completely ruined. It would be, no, these characters might be good for the tournament, they might be just good for casual.
And honestly, if Nintendo said, hey guys, you want a single player mode? Pay $20, done.
Yeah,
not a problem.
Smash Bros. Is one of those series that, like, it's selling Wii U's for them. We know that's going to happen.
So support it.
Yeah, like, this is one of the few franchises where DLC would be worth the money.
Yeah.
Like, and it would keep people playing Smash Bros. Because I know, like, myself, I'll probably play it for a month straight. And then I'll probably just move on to something else. And I'll come back whenever there's tournaments or anything like that. But... it's not something that I'm just like, hey, I can play it all the time because something fresh is coming. If they add DLC stuff, it'd be awesome.
I'm not going to lie. Once Smash Brothers comes for the Wii U, Mario Kart 8 will leave. And it will never leave my Wii U again. And that's the way I play my Wii U. It takes a lot for me to switch games in that thing. Not because I'm lazy, but because I know what I want to play. And if Nintendo supports this franchise, I mean, even if they did, and this is going to sound terrible, but hear me out. If they did like Capcom does or Street Fighter, and if they update the game every other year, give you a new on-disc version to buy, that makes the game tournament legal. Because DLC characters can fuck things up. Because not everyone has these characters. Like I know certain characters are banned in tournaments. Mm-hmm. For certain games. So it's kind of like if Nintendo supported this as well as Capcom did Street Fighter and not drop the ball like Capcom did, or like Capcom did with Marvel vs. Capcom 3, where the, oh, we're going to have a bunch of DLC characters, and then, no, you have to buy a whole new version, Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, which is complete bullshit, then I think Nintendo could really be on to something. Because...
I honestly think they just like they'd be able to get away with just doing DLC for this because the Smash Bros. Games are able to last for so long that I'm sure they could manage to just do this with DLC. They wouldn't need to make a different version because they don't update the mechanics. So it's the same mechanics.
But you could sell more paying a $60 disc.
Yes, but I'm saying they don't need to do it as frequently as Street Fighter does because Capcom's just crazy.
Well, yeah, because since Street Fighter 4 came out is when I got into the fighting game seriously. There is Street Fighter 4, Super Street Fighter 4, Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition, and now Ultra Street Fighter 4, which has added a bunch of new characters and fixed mechanics. I'd also like to see them take an approach like, say, Mortal Kombat Studio NetherRealms, Mortal Kombat 9, where they could do hot fixes for the game. Where they could, if they needed to tweak something, they could. They could fix it. So, like, I think right now, I know one of these characters, I think the villager has an infinite throw combo, so I'm kind of hoping they fix that. Or if you get caught using that in tournaments, you're automatically out and banned. I know we had that rule. If you use an infinite, you're done. So I don't know. Nintendo?
I wonder if this version has anything like wave dashing like Melee had.
I don't know. I really don't. I haven't played the Wii U version. I've only played the 3DS version. I'm still waiting on my Cobb. I'm actually going to go check my front door in like 5 minutes here and see if it's arrived.
I heard the demo that you could get if you weren't a Nintendo Platinum member or whatever, like the public one, you could only play it so many times.
Yes, that is true. You can only play it 30 times. Why? Which is really weird. Well, I guess they want you to go out and play it, right? So,
well, yeah, I guess that maybe what they're doing is they're teasing us. They're just like, you want it? Here it is, but you can only have a little bit.
Yeah, like I got the Club Nintendo codes for it, and it's unlimited now. I guess I can delete that once I get my like full version. Yet the version I downloaded on my 2DS to practice with, I think I've only got like 16 uses left out of it, and I'll play that game for like an hour.
How does that work? It's like you can only log into it X amount of times, or you only get number of matches?
You log into it X amount of times. So if you sit there and play for an hour, it only counts as one thing, right? But as soon as you power down the system and you restart the software.
Oh, that's great, because I never power down my system when I'm playing for long periods of time.
Yeah, so that's good. That's good. Like I said, I'm really looking forward to seeing what Nintendo can pull out with this, because honestly, this is going to be the thing that I believe brings the Wii U back to prominence, and it's going to survive on this Mario Kart 8 and the next Zelda in the next year. Unless Nintendo knocks it out of the park. Like, honestly, where the fuck is my new Metroid?
Yeah, really. There's a lot of things that need to come out for the Wii U. Like, they need to, like, they have the potential to do a new Star Fox, a new Metroid. All the characters that are in Smash Bros., all of their games need to come to the Wii U. Right now, they've only got Mario. I guess Donkey Kong has one. Does Kirby have a Wii U game?
Not a direct one.
Yeah.
Like, there was one that came out pretty late for the Wii, and there's a bunch on the 3DS.
I'd love to see a Kid Icarus on the Wii U, because, like, the one on the 3DS is great if you have a circle pad, but otherwise it's just carpal tunnel in a box.
Yeah, you're basically asking for trouble.
Like, I really need to find a circle pad in that game, because I played a little bit of it when it first came out, and I was like, this is amazing, but my hand hurts, so I never picked it up. And I would love to see a Fire Emblem on the Wii U, not just on the 3DS. Because the 3DS one was amazing. And, I mean, they've introduced Robin in the new Smash Bros. To everybody. So, for those that don't have a 3DS, when the Wii U version comes out, they might be like, well, who is this? And they could actually give them another game or something.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, we should probably wrap it up here. And just wanted to get out two things that I thought about earlier, but wasn't really part of the topic. A game that I've been playing a lot recently, I think I might have mentioned it last episode. It's called Azure Striker Gunvolt. It is a 3DS download-only title. I think it's only like $30 or $20. It's very cheap, but it's like Mega Man X if it was multiplied by anime and multiplied by crack. So I've been playing it nonstop. It's a fantastic game, very similar to Mega Man X, but has its own style, game mechanics, everything. I think you would enjoy the hell out of it, Dodd.
Mm-hmm.
I highly suggest getting a code or, you know, just paying the money. So anybody that has a 3DS, go check that out. You should support them. If you get it before November at some point, it doesn't really matter because November is quite a ways away. You also get Mighty Gunvolts. It's a small game with it. It's basically like a Mega Man game as well, for free. And the second thing that I wanted to note is please send us feedback at This Week in Geeks. And on our Facebook page, let us know what your favorite character is, what characters you'd like to see come, if, you know, possibility that they might just keep giving us DLC characters. Let us know what, like, your favorite movesets are, what, like some of the characters from, say, Melee and everything, why it's different from Smash Bros. Brawl.
Or maybe if you have any YouTube videos of your fights.
Yeah.
Let's see.
We'd love to see that stuff. Post it on the Facebook page. Let everybody see it. I'm really trying to advertise the Facebook page just because a lot of people don't like to use Facebook pages, but it is a direct link between you, the viewers, and us. So rather than sending emails and all that, calling our line, which we still love the phone calls.
Yep, but, 81, which, by the way, the voicemail line is 817-717-7202. And I'd like to put this out there. When the game comes out for Wii U and 3DS, we will post our friend codes and our names, and I'd love to set up tournament nights between us and the listeners.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Get some bragging rights, guys.
And, I mean, like, we love hearing from you guys, so just keep sending us feedbacks. Tell us, give us suggestions for shows that you want to do. Right now, on the agenda, we have... we want to talk about commercials for video games from the past to now. We've also got, we're probably going to do maybe a small recap episode next week or in the near future for all of the games that are coming out for Nintendo, because we bashed Nintendo so much last year that we'd like to at least see if these new games coming out. So Smash Bros. For 3DS is coming out. When is that coming out? You said Friday, right?
Yes. Next Friday.
And then Hyrule Warriors for Wii U is coming up real soon, too.
Yep.
I don't remember the exact date. So, might do a quick recap on them, and we might meld that in with a little bit of information from that X events, the games that aren't under NDA. We've got a couple other ideas in our back pocket, too.
I'm pretty sure all those have lifted by now, but we'll talk about that next time.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you have any suggestions for what you want to hear about, let us know. If it's a smaller subject that can't be talked about for a half an hour to an hour, it can always become a prototype mini, which I am working on getting some of those out and ready for when we have any times where we can't both get together. And I've also wanted to get everybody's opinions on possibility of doing certain episodes on YouTube with things playing in the background. So like the commercial one that we're going to do soon, I might put the commercials in the background of us talking so you can see what the hell we're talking about. So let us know. Feedback. All that stuff. Yay.
Woo. Good times. So anyway, guys.
Don't forget the word of the day. Poop on command.
That's right. So for the prototype, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd.
And I've been Jamie JJ Johnston saying, let's play some Smash.
Ready, set, go!
What?